You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Thursday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to the action at Newmarket as it's the third and final day of the Craven meeting alongside the jumps action at Cheltenham. You'll hear every race live, of course, on William Hill's Racing Radio on Thursday afternoon. My name is Sam Norris and joining me in the studio today is Andrew Mounts. How are you, Andrew?
I'm good, Sam. How are you, sir?
Very good, thanks. Yeah, enjoying the racing over the last few days and I always enjoy this Craven meeting, Andrew. It feels to me like the official start of the flat season. I like the Lincoln, but it never feels like the curtain raiser for me as much as this Craven meeting does.
Yeah, and the gap between the Lincoln and the Craven is a bit odd. There tends to be lots of jump racing, lots of all-weather flat racing, and now we know the flat turf season's in full swing. Lots of good Newmarket horses coming out and running in these Guineas trials.
Yeah, definitely. We've got the Nell Gwynn coming up on Wednesday, of course, just about half an hour after we record this podcast. So no doubt we'll be mentioning that on Friday's podcast. But let's look back to the opening day of the Craven meeting at Newmarket, Andrew. And what a good time to return to form for the Charlie Appleby Yard. They just dipped a little bit, but bounced back with two winners and a second in the first three races of the day at Newmarket, and all ridden by William Buick. If you're going to hit form again, now is a perfect time to do it.
That's right. It was a good day for Godolphin in general. Yeah. His side bin Sir All weighed in with a winner as well. And it was a day to be up with the pace at Newmarket, as it often is on the Rolly Mile course, particularly on fast ground when there's no wind. So I'm certainly going to be looking for horses that have made ground from off the pace and run well under patient rides. And there were two that really stood out in the finale yesterday, which was a 5-furlong handicap won by El Astronaute. That one was prominent throughout, as was runner-up Majestic Hero. And it was the third and fourth that caught the eye. Oh So Sassy, beaten a short head and a neck in third for Chris Wall. Did best of those to come from off the pace. And the fourth horse, Olivia Fallow, was also ridden patiently, only went down by half a length in total. That was her seasonal debut. She's got a really good record second time out. First, and second by a neck from three runs.
Right.
So look out for Olivia Fallow next time.
Yeah, Olivia Fallow and Oh So Sassy, a couple to follow then, who came out of that finale at Newmarket on the opening day of the Craven meeting. Let's look back a little bit on some of Wednesday's racing as well. We had the European Free Handicapper listed prize coming up at 2:25 on Wednesday. And this went the way of White Cliffs of Dover for Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore. Beat Seven Heavens, who was only finished third in the end for John Gosden and Frankie Dettori. That was the one that the market was with pre-race. But a nice performance from White Cliffs of Dover, and it's probably beaten some fairly good yardsticks, I fancy.
Yeah, that's right. This one went into my tracker last season when winning at Nace in Maiden Company in a very fast time. And the time compared favourably with a couple of course and distance handicaps for older horses on the cards. Didn't win after that, but was running in some decent races and was third in Group 1 Company in France in October. And it also runs second to Larchmont Lad in the Somerville Stakes. And Larchmont Lad runs at Newmarket on Thursday, which we're going to come to very soon. And White Cliffs of Dover did make all the running, though, as did the first winner, Gunmetal. And I think the third winner as well, in the Earl of Sefton, was sat in second place throughout. So I just wonder if he was a shade flattered by racing up with the pace. So be wary of backing this one at a shorter price in better company next time out.
Okay, we'll mention the Earl of Sefton then as well, as you've just touched on there. Steel and Madrid, the winner there for Richard Hannon and Pat Dobbs, beat Folkswood, who took them along for the majority of the contest. And as you quite rightly mentioned, throughout the course of the last couple of days at Newmarket, it's paid to be on the front end, as these pair were. Folkswood tried to make pretty much all, and Steel and Madrid just sat in behind and always looked to be an eye-catching traveller throughout the course of the race.
That's right. Was a little bit wayward, Folkswood, the best backed of the two Godolphin runners. When I thought Viren's Army for Charlie Appleby would actually make the running, but that one was sort of content to take a lead and then finished very tamely. So I think there might be another day for that one. Ken Peterson certainly suggested that Folkswood was the fitter of the pair.
Right.
And yeah, this was a good run for Steel of Madrid, who won first time out as a juvenile and last season as well came to hand early, winning here at Newmarket in May. So yeah, looks an early season type, and I wouldn't be surprised if this one runs well again second time out.
Okay, we'll be looking at in depth in a couple of races from Newmarket on the final day of the Craven meeting. But as a rule, Andrew, would you be advising people to stick with front runners given what we've seen the first day and a half of the meeting?
Yes, but it's not always easy predicting what's going to make the running, because I try to do that in the free handicap, thinking that a habitual front runner, Miss Infinity, would get an easy lead back from 16s into 10s and was given a hold-up ride and raced keenly as a result. And the other one in the race that I thought might be up there, Majesty for Richard Hannon, that was ridden patiently, and that pair finished last and second last.
Right.
So that was my forecast down the down the Swanee.
Yeah.
So yeah, it can be tricky, because what the horse has done last time out is not necessarily going to be repeated, particularly first time out. That's the lesson I've taken from this week so far.
Okay, good stuff. Is there any particular draw bias at Newmarket in general?
Generally depends where the stalls are. On the first day, the stalls were on the stand side, so those drawn high were against the rail. And we certainly saw El Astronauti, who came through up the rail in that five furlong handicap, take advantage of a high draw. So generally, I would say if the stalls are far side, you want to be low against that far rail. If they're stand side, you want to be high. So just having the comfort of a rail to race against to help keep you straight can be an advantage at times, even if the ground's not particularly quicker up against either rail.
Okay, good stuff. We'll move on to look at some of Thursday's races now. Then we start at Cheltenham. We'll be dealing with Newmarket very shortly and coming to the Craven, the big race of the three-day meeting as well. We start at Cheltenham with the 240. This is a Mare's Novices Handicap Chase, a listed event over 2.5 miles. Just over 22 and a half grand goes to the winner here. A field of seven have lined up for this contest at Cheltenham on Thursday. Does make it a little bit more difficult with just the seven to aim at, Andrew, but the majority of these arriving here in good form, and it's difficult to get away from mares in good form in general.
Yeah, that's right. You know, once they start winning and get on a roll, they tend to continue it. And you've got Antarctica de Tie here, is around about the even money favourite, I think, for this race for Paul Nichols and Sam Twist and Davis.
Yeah.
Has won three in a row, but does have to carry 11 stone 10 and is given a stone and more to all bar one of her rivals, Briary Bell, carrying 11 stone 8. That Briary Bell will be interesting, having won the handicap hurdle for mares on this card last year. But I think I'm going to side with the current second favourite. That's 100-30 shot at the time of recording, Magic Money for Warren Greatrex. Another one who's on a bit of a roll. This one's on a hat-trick after winning at Haydock last time out by a neck from Still Believing in a Grade 2 handicap chase, and at Fontwell the time before that. And she's a qualifier on my Midnight Legend system, which is to back the sire's offspring over fences on good to soft or quicker going from February to April. 55 winners from 302 runners, 18% strike rate, and a profit of £91.45 to a £1 level stake. That's going back 10 years. So, the sire does really well at this time of year on decent ground. So I'm going to take Magic Money to complete the hat-trick.
Magic Money then, a 130 chance for that 240 at Cheltenham behind Antarctica to tie at even money. It's then 11-2 and bigger prices for the rest of them. We stay at Cheltenham then for the 315, which is a mare's handicap hurdle. Another listed prize on offer here, 2.5 miles again for the hurdlers this time. 14 runners though lining up on this occasion, and Snow Leopardess is the 7-2 market leader. Midnight Tour 6-1, Can't Spindle 6-1, 7-1 Indian Stream, Theatre Territory is 9-1, 11s and bigger the rest. A little bit more depth to this race, Andrew. Obviously, we've got double the field size anyway. Anyone leaping off the page?
Yeah, the first thing you notice about this race is that trainer Nicky Henderson has won it three times in the last 6 years. He's got Theatre Territory here for the Whaley Coens. It was only six last time out behind Snow Leopardess at Newbury. But given the trainer's record in the race, you'd certainly respect that one. But I think I'm going to go with Alan King's Midnight Tour. This is another daughter of Midnight Legend and ran very well at the Cheltenham Festival when sixth of 17 behind Apple's Jade. I actually thought she'd run well in that race and did better each way, four places, and she finished sixth, 66-1. Raced keenly, and I thought when she failed to settle that she's going to fall out the back of the telly, but she kept on pretty well in the circumstances. I thought that was very eye-catching, and down in grade, I think Midnight Tour's the one to side with here at around about the 6-1 mark.
Midnight Tour at 6-1 then could well be a double for the progeny of Midnight Legend, hopefully anyway, at Cheltenham on Thursday. As we go to Newmarket now for a couple of races there, beginning with the 3 o'clock, which is the Abernant Stakes, six furlong contest. It's a Group 3 race as well, $34,000 on offer to the winner here. And at the time of recording, Brando is the 5-4 market leader, 6-1 for Tasleet, Ornate 13-2, 7-1 for Windfast. Aeolus is 8-1, 8-1 also for Cassia, and Mayfair Lady is the 16-1 outsider. Plenty of cash for Brando. Then Kevin Ryan's Charge, is that the obvious one to beat on paper, Andrew?
It is. I've tipped this one in my Racing and Football Outlook column this week. A very small field for the Abernante, only seven runners, which is quite surprising. But it's a race in which Brando's trainer Kevin Ryan has got a good record. He's won this twice in the past 3 years, with Hamza in 2014 and with Astaire the following year. And I think Brando is going to take the beating here. And looking at the five-year-old was third in the Group 1 British Champion Sprint Stakes at Ascot in his final start last term. And since he was gelded, he's improved markedly. And he's only had five runs over six furlongs since that operation. Three wins, a second and a third. And, down in class after that Ascot Group 1 third, I think he can take this and make it three wins from the last 4 years for Kevin Ryan.
5-4 then the price of Brando for the Abernante in the 3 o'clock. We go to the big race then at Newmarket coming up at 3:35. It is the Craven Stakes over a mile. Another Group 3 contest, and again with plenty of prize money on offer to the winner. Again, we've got a field of seven runners going to post. War Decree is the 9-4 favourite here. Rivet is 5-2. 9-2 for Larchmont Lad. Ben Battle 5-1. 13-2 for Eminent. Gulliver is 28-1. And it's 40-1. And bigger prices for the rest of them. An interesting blend of profiles here, Andrew. We've got a couple who are pretty new to the game and a few who had busy old seasons as two-year-olds.
Yes, indeed. And War Decree heads the market, the son of Warfront. And there was an interesting stat regarding Warfront three-year-olds trained by Aidan O'Brien and running in group company. Just two from 24 prior to Wednesday's racing. He's got a couple in the Nell Gwynn, so that stat might have been broken by the time this race got, at the time they got a post for this race even.
But they do generally say that they don't train on much from two to three.
That's right. It's certainly an angle that Ken Peterson's keen on as well, opposing War Fronts at the age of three.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at Larchmont Lad, who we mentioned earlier. This one's won two of three starts for the Richard Hannon Yard, made a winning debut at Sandown over seven furlongs last year, and then was just beaten by Rodani and Salsabile in the Flying Scotsman, a listed race at Doncaster on second start. And of course, Rodani and Salsabile have both run well on the Rolling Mile this week, both finishing second. And of course, on his final start last year in Group 3 company, the Somerville Stakes in September, he beat White Cliffs of Dover, no less, into second place by 3/4 of a length. So a horse who's gone well fresh before. And even though he's very talented, he's never started at a particularly short price either. 8-1 when he won on his debut, and 8-1 when he beat White Cliffs of Dover. So perhaps a shade underrated, sneaked in under the radar. I'll side with the current third favourite, Larchmont Lad.
9-2 the price of Larchmont Lad then at the time recording for the Craven Stakes coming up on Thursday at Newmarket at 3:35. Just give us a quick recap then, please, if you would, Andrew, of your four selections for the racing at Cheltenham and Newmarket on Thursday.
Okay, the 2:40 at Cheltenham, I'm with Magic Money to complete the hat-trick. The 3:15, a very competitive Mayor's Handicap Hurdle, I'm going with Midnight Tour, who ran well at the Cheltenham Festival, for Alan King. Then we're on to Newmarket for the Abernant Stakes. I'm with the favourite Brando, bidding to give Kevin Ryan his third win in the race in the past 4 years. And finally, we're off to a Newmarket for the 3:35, which is the Craven Stakes. I'm going with Larchmont Lad for Richard Hannon.
Excellent stuff. The thoughts of Andrew Mount ahead of Thursday's racing. And remember to tune into Racing Radio from 1:40 for Craven Day at Newmarket. Some good listed prizes on offer at Cheltenham. We're also racing at Ripon, Lingfield, Taunton, and there's an Irish card at Tipperary as well on Thursday. Thank you very much for that, Andrew. Enjoy the racing and best of luck.
Thanks, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.